let's get to the decision. Stay or leave.
You're listening to Stay or Leave, a Married at First Sight recap podcast specifically for Australia. We're currently covering season 12. Welcome if it's your first time. Also, that's crazy. I'm one of your hosts. It's Mike Carrozza with me. Joining me for today and always is Andrina Learmonth. Hi,
oh,
Andrina.
Thank you. Hi, it's just me.
Yeah, Lindsay Adams and Chris Mejia can't make it today. So we're covering this week alone. It's just me and Andrina.
You're never alone when you're with me, Mike.
That's right. You're damn right. Because we live together and yeah. Life is good, baby.
Does that make you feel good?
It makes me feel nice.
Yeah.
I like it. What week is this? Is this week 7?
So many weeks.
Oh, boy.
This must be week 6. I think somebody even said it during the week. But honestly, who can keep track at this point? There's so much craziness going on.
So much happening.
Everything's falling apart, Jamie.
This is a mess. This is week 7. I just checked our old episode because we wrote week 6. It's a mess. This week.
Ugh. Was this your least favorite week, too?
It was a harder one to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, this one hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was checked out, but I definitely left the room, you know?
We didn't take many notes on this one because it was a little bit frustrating. I think it's important to note that, like, this was usually this is going to be the stir the pot week because it's partner swap week, which, you know, it's so funny to me that everybody gets up in arms and the let's swap wives thing. And then weeks later, they literally do it. Yeah, I know.
It's part of the whole thing.
It's part of the whole fucking thing. And so it just makes no sense to me that like anybody gets up in arms about that stuff. But this week it's like it's tough because we start with the commitment ceremony where things are frustrating in a way that you're like, man, I've lost respect for Alessandra. They're frustrating in a way that like
and
we'll get
gained
to it.
Respect for Jamie somehow or yeah. Sorry, not Jamie.
Adrian.
Jackie.
Oh, yeah. Well, a little respect for Jackie and Adrian in the past couple weeks because they're the ones speaking up about stuff, which is insane. If those are your new barometers, that's fucked up. But this is partner swap week, and then we have a crazy dinner party. So let's do the commitment ceremony first, right?
Let's do it.
So we can go couple by couple.
Well, the first to leave is Lauren and Clint.
Right.
The first up to the couch and to leave.
Yeah, Lauren and Clint get on the couch.
Total.
And.
Cunts, let's just say it.
Be real. Yeah, Lauren is such an asshole the entire fucking time. Mm-hmm. The experts do call her out and they're like, do you realize like you're speaking condescendingly and dismissively about these people? They bring up the fact that she's like, I don't want to associate with them. And then somebody's like, yeah, well, when Elliot fucked off and you showed up to a dinner party and everybody rallied around you, you seem to like that then. So
exactly.
What changed? Why do you feel like everybody's beneath you here?
This is the first time we see at a commitment ceremony, pre-couch session, nothing's even started yet. They walk into the room late because the producers are producing.
Yeah.
And Dave starts clapping and people start going off at them immediately. This is the first time I've seen drama stir before the session has even started, and it's really funny to me that like the experts just kind of let it happen, and then at some point Lauren says something fucked up, which I believe is I should have brought food pellets to keep them quiet.
Yeah.
And that's when John is like, okay,
yeah,
now we stop.
Yeah, so to me it's kind of like I think so Lauren is clearly being awful, and the reason so the thing is that they're clapping because they didn't show up for the dinner party and they're showing up for this commitment ceremony. And it's kind of like, oh, you couldn't be fucked because they threw a grenade in the house and ran. And then they didn't show up for the dinner party and they missed all that chaos. And now they're at this fucking commitment ceremony, still being condescending, still being prickly, being called out by experts and saying you're being condescending, you're being dismissive, your words, it's all barbs, it's all like, what, do you think you're better than them? You're being a real piece of shit, do you know that? And she's like, well, whatever, I don't fucking care.
I mean, I wish they'd said it like that. They were much more, you know, formal about it, and diplomatic. But yeah, I'm glad that they did actually try and hold them to account, but it feels like you just can't get there with Lauren.
No.
And certainly they didn't really try to do anything
with Clint,
yeah, right?
'Cause he's a fucking ball of clay. The guy is exactly what you mold him into. What a fucking loser. Dude, look, hey, congratulations, you're rich. Now disappear, dog.
Dude's just there. He's just waiting to be kissed. Like, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
it's not
and
gonna.
It won't. The fact that he's at all optimistic about them getting along outside or being like, yeah, maybe she'll come to Tassie. You're like,
dude, no, he's not going to. She's not going to. And also, what do you get out of this?
Yeah, like, what do you fucking get? You're going to be hanging out with a fucking piece of shit person.
Yeah.
Lauren, fuck you. Fuck you so much. And the fact that like Jackie speaks up talking about how she had to defend the whole house because no one's speaking up to Lauren and. The experts are like, do you realize how you're speaking to them? And she's like, yeah, well, and she's like, this is what it was. This is what it was at the retreat. And then Clint goes, shut the fuck up for once in your life. Nobody comments on that.
Nobody.
Despite that being honestly even more fucking frustrating.
Yeah. And he's exasperated. He's like, this again. Dude, you weren't even at the dinner party. What do you mean? You got the night off.
Yeah.
You can't handle this.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
They were just being the worst.
It really sucked to watch. I think it's so silly. Obviously, they have to get there and ask about the relationship, but they finally do after kind of addressing the group drama. She asked them about the relationships, and I don't know. Everyone, it feels like everyone's feeling sorry for Clint. You feel sorry for Clint?
Do I feel sorry for Clint?
Do you feel sorry for
him?
No,
toss him in the trash, too. Here's the thing. Have some integrity. Like, it makes no sense to me that you would be so loyal to your partner despite them demonstrating to you and everyone around them that they are a straight up villain. You're not. You're like married to them in this experiment. You owe them no real allegiance at this point.
No.
You don't know this woman.
Exactly.
So it boggles my mind the fact that he has like they've sat on the couch and said stay twice. And what has he gotten out of this? The first week, it makes sense. Welcome to the experiment. We're happy you're back. You get to watch Elliot flounder. You get to talk shit to Elliot's new wife. You get to poison that well. You're so excited. Clint is like, hey, I'm along for the ride. She was mistreated, and maybe I can be the nice guy she needs. And then she's like, hey, you're not an alpha male. And he was like, what's an alpha male? And they somehow still decide to stay, despite the next week being the couple's retreat and then being like, no, we don't want to go. I mean,
just
fucking fuck
such
off.
Such loser behavior at such the couple's retreat. Behavior. It's been loser behavior since week two for them.
It's garbage.
Enjoyed the redemption arc for Lauren. I very much enjoyed that. I thought,
redemption.
You know, well, redemption arc for her. She gets to come back. She gets to have her say at Elliot. Everyone has her back.
I see. Before. Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're just seeing this and it's so disappointing. Like, you know, I thought, you know, she's strong. She has her whatever, her weird morals.
She's got her career. She knows what she wants.
Her principles, she stands by them. But then to just like not show up and let like everybody flounder. It's so, what a move. That's a war tactic.
It literally is. She doesn't face the music in any way. She literally is just the worst part of everything in any context. It's just her being awful.
And Clint is just a patsy, but yes, he is a mean patsy.
He really is, but that's
I don't feel sorry for him.
See, the thing is, I think what people saw early on were like, hey, he's a nice guy, like, but he is being tainted by this person who's feeding him bullshit.
But this is the problem with nice guy bullshit.
Thank you. Exactly. Why does he get a pass on this? Because he, around the campfire, tells Jamie to shut the fuck up several times. Now, listen, I will be the first to tell you, I will tell people to shut the fuck up all the time.
You love telling
people
to shut the fuck
up. I love
it. You never do it to me, though.
No, why would I do it to you? I want to hear what you have to say.
I have lots
but
to say.
Here's the thing. If you're being attacked for having been a total cunt to a bunch of people, and I'm hearing this from 10 other people in this experiment where I barely know you and you're sitting there like getting yelled at, I'd be like, hey, maybe diffuse the situation, but not go shut the fuck up. I'd be in the back of my head going, did you really say all this stuff? Like, who am I defending right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it feels insane to me that Clint was right. Okay. So this is my teammate. Okay. Sports.
Golf.
Right.
You know how you classically have teammates in golf?
You got your caddy.
Right.
That's not a... Anyway.
Well, he's the caddy. Lauren's the shooter?
She fucking better shoot.
The
anyway.
The fuck is golf?
I mean, I don't care. Either way, I just think it's... Like, it's insane to me that Lauren... set it all up to be like, I walked into the kitchen and to my absolute horror, he was doing the dishes. And he even told her, like, I enjoy doing household chores. It makes me feel good.
And there's no coming back from that.
No, there's no coming back for that.
Not in Lauren's world.
Exactly. And so to her, she's looking at this effeminate, oh my God, I might as well have married a gay dude. What the fuck? He's doing a woman's job.
I bet he washes his face and that also disgusts her.
Do you think he wipes his ass for real?
I think he does.
I never.
Think he actually has a bidet.
Oh, a bidet. French?
Have you seen his house?
French?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. That's Lauren.
Sorry,
anyway,
Paul.
So yeah, they both write leave, and then rather than joining the group and staying for any of the flagellation or any of the things that they've caused, they just leave the room, like Morena did. But on her way up,
not like Morena did. Well, Morena thought she was making a statement. They were just avoiding any kind of fire.
Well, they were cowards about it. Morena, I can't believe is. I don't want to ever think about Morena again. Lauren and Clint leave like cowards, but she writes leaving the zoo.
Ugh.
And John's like, hey, if you had to rewrite that, what would you write instead? She goes, leave, XX. He's like, thank you very much. And you're like, don't let her off the hook. She's still on this couch. Give her hell until she actually leaves.
Well, we have to recognize that she wrote that before she sat down on the couch and was given a talking to.
Sure.
So fine, I guess I understand why John gave her that second opportunity.
I don't know.
But at the same time, this was too nice for someone who is so atrocious.
Agreed.
It really wasn't satisfying at all.
Not at all.
It actually just felt like, okay, give them a victory lap, why don't you?
Yeah.
Like, she got what she wanted while also not getting what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, I guess I can be satisfied if I really just like be mature about it. I don't want to be mature about it. I'm watching a reality TV show, for fuck's sake.
I don't know. Even if I'm like, it's a reality TV show about relationships. It's about marriage. You want to be mature in that sense.
Exactly.
But it is for entertainment. It is also like, if people are behaving like fucking assholes, you call them an asshole, and guess what? Show is better for it. I don't know what they gain from being kind to these people. Like, nobody believes them to be actual fucking therapists at this point, especially if they couldn't fucking pick up on Adrian being a piece of shit to Afina a couple weeks ago.
Well, they don't do their background research on people either, apparently, right? I see this more as like, this is a nature documentary. We've got the narrator. She's always, you know, talking us through the...
In Sydney.
You know, like an anthropology...
What?
Documentary. It's about people and their habits and their behaviors.
Well, that's...
What's the word for that?
Anthropological?
Is it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, somebody Google that and then send us an email at...
stayorleavemaths@gmail.com.
Tell us we're wrong.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I kind of see it as like, just this is exactly an experiment. It's a documentary in a way, because it's like, hey, how do relationships fall apart? Let's speed run that.
I mean, yeah, they definitely speed run these relationships falling apart, and there's no hope for many of these people.
And it would be cool to see them actually kind of go and dissect Lauren and Clint way more than they actually had. They threw in the towel on this one. There was so much to be said still. They didn't do it. I'm unsatisfied. Fuck Lauren, fuck Clint.
They're not coming back for the reunion. We know that for sure.
I want them to.
I would love for them to see themselves on screen. And you know what? I hope people are out there recognizing them and going, hey, you were such a piece of shit. You think you're better than us, but like, fuck yourself.
They're gonna.
Yeah.
I do hate that it does follow people outside of the experiment and like they get harassed and stuff. Mm. Please don't do that. If you're in Australia and you harass people that you've seen on TV, you're a bad person.
Yeah, I mean, don't be a dick about it, but if you do see Lauren, say, hi, I watched you on the show. Didn't look so good. Sorry that two marriages didn't work for you.
Please go to the reunion, though.
Please go to the reunion.
I want to see the shame in Clint's eyes, and honestly, Jamie deserves an apology.
I think Clint will be there because there's a spoiler.
That's the only way he's going to redeem himself.
Only way.
I don't know if Lauren can redeem herself.
No, I don't think she can. I don't think she's capable of redemption at this point. Anyway, I don't want to talk about them anymore because they fucking suck. I'm done with them. The rest of the commitment ceremony is pretty uneventful, frankly. Like, what do we got? We got Beth and TJ. She thinks that he's not attracted to her and needs him to kind of take the lead. Okay, noted.
He says, I thought I did. Okay, yep. I'll do better.
Exactly. Great. They both stay.
We have Athena and Adrian up on the couch next.
Had a great time at the couples retreat and were like, ugh. I don't get it. I mean,
I'm happy she's happy, but I'm not happy he's happy.
I don't believe her happiness here. I'm sorry. I just don't think it's real.
Them being a palate cleanser couple, by the way, after Lauren and Clint is uncool. Criminal?
Yeah.
Someone should go to jail. Probably Adrian. I just don't understand how we're forgiving all of this, everything.
Past behavior, leaving over a promo.
And we're supposed to sit there watching this and be like, yay, good for them. Oh, happy couple. All you need is a vacation.
Never mind the fact that Adrian is like, I'll never be able to love your son. Your son's
whoever. How did we forget about this?
I'm just being honest.
How does that not come up every episode?
How is it not the way she wakes up in the morning and is like, mm-hmm. you said you will never love my son as one of your own? And he's like, that's just me being honest.
Dude, like, Athena, take a picture of your son, cut him out, and paste it onto your wedding photo with Adrian and see how he reacts. Yeah, please.
Dude, well, that's
it'd be hilarious. No, it's not psychotic.
It is psychotic.
That's not psychotic.
It is a little psychotic.
Okay, it's only psychotic if you cross out the eyes.
No. If you're cutting, it's psychotic. If you're not making collage art and you're cutting stuff out of pictures,
collage art is a great way to relax.
Oh my God. That's not what I'm talking about.
They do it in art therapy all the time.
I'm not talking about that. Anyway, Athena and Adrian, bye. I don't care. I don't want to talk about them.
Well, not bye. They do stay.
They stay. And they are so happy together. And they're important this week. But
they are so happy together.
Let's just be like, Jeff and Rhee stay. That's it.
Fine. Yeah. Jeff and Rhee stay. Check. We did it.
Yeah. They think that they can get to falling in love with each other.
Oh, he blushes and then but I look at his face and he's still very white.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm rooting for them. I picked my horse at the beginning of this, of the couples who met at the altar after having dated or met each other before, between Paul and Karina and Jeff and Rhee. I said, well, these two are the more important.
Yeah.
Fuck Paul and Karina over these two. I am so much more invested in these two as a real couple.
Yes.
And I do hope that they make it outside of the experiment. I believe in them. I really do. And I hope they believe in themselves, and I hope it goes well.
They seem like a real couple because Agreed. They were a real couple and they are turning back into that. And I think that's kind of so nice. It's what the show wanted, obviously. It's what we all wanted, and we're getting it, which is so nice.
Thankfully, yes. Moving on to Ryan and Jackie. Go ahead and read the notes you got, because I know you're excited about them.
Well, she's just happy that he's finally complimenting her intellect.
Which is finally so funny.
Jackie and her compliments, man. I mean, I get it. It's nice to be complimented, but I think she just wants a list.
Here's the thing. Jackie is the one person I think should have an AI boyfriend.
She kind of does.
I mean, she's
not a good one, though. Somebody typed in some bad words when they were making Ryan.
She's got a beta version that still needs kinks worked out. Ryan is such a loser dweeb, and Jackie is such a psycho weirdo.
But I love her.
I don't.
Would I be friends with Jackie?
No.
I would never date her.
No, hold on. I could not.
Well, I'm dating you. So we live together. Yes. Yeah, we're in love. Whatever. Yeah. We're common law. I don't know.
Common law.
Would I date Jackie?
My common law wife. It feels so strained and weird to say.
Let's never get married, though.
My wife.
My common law husband.
Thank you.
Jackie could be a good friend.
See, here's the thing about Jackie. Clearly, she is getting some edit treatment here, but like, the same time, she's saying this shit.
She's making the list. Checking them twice.
She's doing the letter and Jeff is freaking out over it. Like, there's a lot of stuff that Jackie's doing that I'm like, this is not a sane person. This is not someone who is well.
If they are editing her, and yeah, sure, it's producer heaven. She is producer heaven.
I mean,
I don't think there's much they need to do. Like,
no, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
They just cut to her crying once in a while, and it's like,
so funny.
We love it.
The fact that they have that shrine in their apartment, and it makes no sense because every week there's another problem, and they walk in, and they're like, hey guys, we're the best. We're so happy.
But they like stuff like that. They want to make a swear jar for Beth later on.
I mean, honestly, that's a whole fucking thing.
It kind of feels like every time they have a fight and makeup, they do a Polaroid. So that makes sense.
And then that's why the wall's so fucking plastered with them. I don't believe them at all, not even for the tiniest bit. And the fact that they keep saying stay is absurd. Now, no. The big thing that comes up on the couch for them is because of the couples retreat, is this thing about Ryan saving up his testosterone for the gym. And Alessandra points something out here. Do you want to read what she actually says?
Well, she calls out Ryan for not fucking Jackie in the morning and says, why not pleasure Jackie anyways?
Yeah.
Which feels like a big mind blown moment.
For some of these guys, at least.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I was sitting there like, oh my God, yeah. How has nobody said this? How did I not think of it? And that's the patriarchy, ladies and gentlemen. That's the patriarchy. Yep. I mean, good for Alessandra. I think that's the most insightful thing she's ever said.
I think it's very insightful. I do believe in Alessandra in seasons past. I'll say this season, it has been disappointment city with Alessandra. And I don't like saying that because I liked her so much. But then this episode especially, I just cannot. The fact that they're not even talking about Afina and Adrian's past and how much that sucked. The fact that, you know, she didn't clearly address Sierra and Billy's first of all, Billy's kind of inability to take sex seriously and how they could have had that conversation. They've done one-on-one therapy sessions with some couples, and I think Alessandra should have been able to pick up on them needing it.
I think they should just do that by default from now on, because every couple is struggling in one way or another. So like, why not have a sit-down session? Like, if they wanted to be taken seriously again, because nobody takes this show seriously when it comes to the experts, they could try and repair that image at least by doing one-on-one sessions instead of a whole everybody production. Like just for one episode.
Sure, but I will say, here we are saying it'd be nice if they did a one-on-one, and also I've lost respect for these experts, and also I don't believe them to be actual therapists.
I think they technically have credits.
Whatever.
Academic credits.
They're not showing their skill.
Well, they choose to show them sometimes. Rest of the times they're being told what to say by producers, but or told to shut the fuck up and let the people go at each other. I don't know.
The amount of times that they skip ahead to the decision when clearly something isn't done and needs more discussion is absurd.
Never done.
Never ever.
I have in my note here, I didn't write anything for context, but maybe you can remember, Dunning-Kruger effect for Jackie and Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Let me look up the actual definition of this, because Dunning-Kruger effect is what I found out about when I watched that documentary on flat earthers. So the Dunning-Kruger effect is a cognitive bias in which people with limited competence in a particular domain overestimate their abilities. So it's like people who aren't experts in a field deciding that they are experts in the field.
Who does that sound like to you?
Ryan and Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget why exactly what moment it was that this came up, but they're both just so overconfident. They're always hyping up how their intellect is, you know, better than everyone else. They're so accomplished.
Jackie's saying he's finally complimenting my intellect. To me, first of all, the moment somebody goes intellect, I'm just like, man, you're really trying to fucking, what are you doing?
She does do a thing where she uses a lot of big words, but she doesn't necessarily string together a sentence in a way is grammatically correct.
Or like coherent.
Or makes sense. Yeah, it's not coherent. So many questions. She's a fascinating person. I would love to get coffee or margaritas with her one day.
She loves cryptocurrency, so you'll have to read up on that. She'll give you a reading list before she ever meets you. And then she'll text me about a male's perspective on something, and I will be like, babe, what do you think of this? And you'll be like, go meet her.
That's
go meet
SPAC
the insane
notes
lady.
For. Anyway, this couch session, it felt like we were watching an AI generated.
It felt
couple.
Insane. It really fucking felt nuts. The fact that they both said stay. The thing is,
we were
high when we watched this. Ryan gave Jackie an ultimatum on this trip, and it didn't come up. Ryan has given several ultimatums.
He loves an ultimatum. It makes him feel like a man.
Yes, because he's like, I'm in charge. But then he doesn't follow through in any sense. So his integrity is just entirely shot. He'll be like, trust is very important to me, and you have lost it, and you need to regain it. if this happens again, I cannot move forward with you as your husband in the experiment. Mm-hmm. And then fucking bends over.
It doesn't make any sense, because the only reason at this point for them to stay is TV time. And the only reason to stay for TV time is to get redemption, which...
Ryan's not getting redemption. Yet.
He never tries to.
He has no concept of how he's being perceived. So I don't know what he gets out of this. Jackie, at least, is like Instagram stories nonstop while the show's happening.
Well, they stay. They both stay. And then Ryan accidentally hits her in the head after they sit on the couch.
Yeah, he hits her in the head with the elbow, which is hilarious.
It makes me wonder how many times Ryan has just fallen down for no reason.
Just no reason.
Just no reason. Okay, Veronica and Elliot.
Oh, God. So what are the major takeaways?
Oh, God. That's the major takeaway.
She's dismissive of him.
This is the couch session like John doesn't even give a fuck about.
Yeah, dude.
Like, you can tell. Like, he looks exasperated. They just like both right stay. He's confused. I mean.
Oh, well, this is okay. So they have this is after the dinner party where Veronica pipes up at Jamie, and Jamie goes, okay, so we're going there. Hey, do you want to tell Elliot about the time you met with Lauren?
That's right.
And Elliot's like, that's a betrayal of my trust. It's like, you made up your mind about me before you ever really gave me a chance. And she's like, you're right, and I have to reassess or whatever. And then
she doesn't.
Right, exactly.
Well, she does, because they at the retreat, they actually seem like they're okay.
Yeah, they goof off.
But then she comes onto the couch at the commitment ceremony and just like bombshell is like, I'm changing my personality for him.
Right.
He's making me change my personality for him.
Which,
no, you were asked to change your bad behavior at the couch session
exactly.
last time.
By the experts, mind
because
you.
It was atrocious.
It was
and
obvious.
You are just that person, so you can't handle it.
It was obvious to the experts to the point where they were like, hey, you're rolling your eyes at everything he says. Do you want to maybe be less of a bitch about it? And she was like, oh, yeah, I know I do that. And they're like, stop it. And she's like, I'll try. And then next week she's like, look, I tried the thing where I don't roll my eyes. And that is just not who I am.
Yeah, I tried smiling and having fun. It sucked. I don't want to be here anymore. But also, can I stay?
Yeah, I'd like to stay because more casting directors need to see this face. Which, by the way, she would make an absolutely terrifying villain. She has the perfect face for being scary. And she definitely speaks like it. Terrifying person, this Veronica. But I hope she does get work from it. Good for you. Now we move on to Karina and Paul, who are, look, how they haven't ejected this couple just based off of Paul punching the door, I don't understand. Karina is at the dinner party, basically leaves saying, she made me feel stupid. And it's like, yeah, because you are. Sorry, not sorry. You are an idiot. You're a dunce. If you could sit in front of Jamie while she is articulating this, as well as she had, saying, my feelings were hurt because I was defending all of us from someone who was insulting us to our faces and being condescending and demeaning to us. I raised my voice when she fired back and was, you know, even worse, in defense of everyone around us. And you decided to go back her. My friend chose her over me. That is a betrayal. That is hurtful, and that is why I'm expecting an apology from you.
And Karina calling herself Switzerland, but at the same time not understanding that to be neutral, you say either nothing at all
or
you defend both parties.
Which she did not. And Jamie points that out as well, because she goes, I'm everyone's friend. And, you know, like, I went to go see her and it's like, where's my defense, though, Karina? Mm-hmm. Where's my defense?
And so we have this all very much like laid out. It's very simple.
We witnessed it.
It shouldn't have been made into this mountain, but it was, because emotions are heightened, because Lauren and Clint weren't there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, because Karina couldn't see the reason.
Which is absurd to me. Karina, if you're even half paying attention to anything Jamie was saying on that at the dinner party.
No, she wasn't. Karina, exactly. The second she sees herself as a victim, will play into it. Mm. And just
classic.
Like kind of stare into the distance, waiting for your mouth to shut so she can be like, but I don't understand.
What I love is what you said about her, which is she had a talking head where it looked like she was deep in thought. And you said Karina's eyes always look like she's thinking really hard, but it becomes very clear that she has not a single thought going on in there.
Yeah, she's kind of got shark eyes. Like, I think she's worked really hard her whole life to look like she's able
I don't
to
think,
think
she's worked hard at all in her whole life. It no, comes no, up no. again this week, but anyway.
You have to put work into making yourself appear a certain way, and she right. has that down pat. Sure.
But I'll say the rest of her life has been pretty easy. Now,
also, we get back to the Mean Girls comment.
Right,
real
which
quick.
Makes no sense. First of all, watch the movie, you fucking idiot. The only mean girl there is Lauren, and she's Regina George at the end of the movie throwing the burn book pages at the end and going home. That's yeah. who the mean girl is.
And obviously, Jamie gets upset the second she hears this. She's like, you're still calling me a mean girl.
Who are you calling a mean girl? And she's saying mean girls. So it's like Afina's like, hey, so what's this? And Beth mm-hmm. is like, I'm going to be quiet, but I'm perking up.
Yeah. And Karina goes ahead. She's like, I didn't call you a mean girl. I said it was a mean girl environment.
Girl, shut the fuck up.
Yikes.
Fuck you. I don't understand. Like, what do you even say to that? See, this is why I understand Jamie's anger. This is why I understand why she got so upset, is that you're dealing with someone with the intellectual, like, just the intellectual capacity of a fucking brick wall at this point. Willfully ignoring anything that would allow her to accept any blame or accountability, mm-hmm. willfully just like doing everything she can to avoid, in any sense of the word, just like contrition, just nothing. There's no, yeah. she doesn't want to be in a position where she owes anybody anything, especially people she looks down on, which we learn she does not respect anybody. And that's what she has in common with Lauren. She doesn't see Jamie on her level. She doesn't see Afina on her level.
She once again does not speak up when Lauren is actively insulting the group at the commitment ceremony either. So it's like, in a way, she is doubling down.
100%. And you know what else, though? We got the apology from Marie, and like, to an extent, it does feel like you're strong-arming an apology out of somebody. And I get that, but you're literally holding your friend's feet to the fire, saying, I am holding you accountable because of the thing that happened in the moment. And Rhee, I definitely believe, is not a confrontational person to the point of anxiety. Karina keeps saying, I'm not confrontational. And yet we've seen confrontation from her.
She's not confrontational in that she doesn't have the fucking guts to yeah. Speak her mind. Yeah. But you know the thoughts are there. Uh-huh. You know that she thinks she's better than everyone else. And we find out, out what is said behind closed doors. And it's not pretty.
What we also find out is that they commend her for staying so strong in the face of a bully. That's not the words that they use, but they say they're basically commending Karina for mm-hmm. standing strong against Jamie. And that to me is absurd.
Yeah, they say, well done. Mel specifically says to Karina, well done, you know, and she's like, hey, you know, it takes courage to stand out from the crowd and to not go along with the crowd or to speak against them.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit. This is dangerous. Like, this is damaging in so many ways. Yeah. Like, first of all, we're encouraging the type of person who doesn't speak up when bad things are happening in this political climate.
Thank you.
How about we don't do that? I get you're in Australia, but this is a worldwide issue right now. It's
totally
spreading like wildfire. Come on, Australia. You guys know about wildfire. It is not easy to put out once it starts.
What was that?
Whatever. You guys are fine, right? You guys are okay over there?
That's not even what I'm about. Like, the way you said it was like, come on, you guys know about wildfires. Like, where did that come from?
Well, like, look it up.
Look it up.
Anyway, here's another thing that does bother me. Paul, during all this.
Oh, yeah, you hated this.
Little Paul.
Okay, wait, can I tell them?
Why?
I'm going to tell them something. When you noticed this, you would not stop talking about it. You had to get up and stand. You hated this. Go ahead.
I mean, how am I supposed to sit through this? If you are sitting throughout all this season, like if you haven't stood up once to pace, what antidepressants are you on?
I mean, a lot of them. Probably people out there are medicated, babe.
This is hard. Fine. good for you. Please share. I'm struggling.
Yes.
Watching Paul hold Karina's neck, touch her face, stroke her ears.
He doesn't stop.
Put your hands away.
Yeah.
Put your hands in your pockets.
Hold her hand.
I hate this.
Yeah.
It's like, she is not a ventriloquist dummy. Take your hand off the back of her neck when she is fucking speaking. It is so, it's not even cringe. It's offensive to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. It mm-hmm. is one of those things that, like, and then the whole time when we notice that, I'm kind of thinking, this is the guy that punched the door.
Yeah. And you know what you're doing when you put your hands on the neck of a woman? It's, you are gonna you're controlling me.
Yeah,
you're controlling me like a puppet. Like, you're, if you just tense your fingers a little bit, that would hurt. Yeah. I don't want you touching the back of my neck.
It's
like this.
It's a sensitive point. It's a vulnerability.
And he does it, like, especially when she calls him out later on, he just keeps touching her. The way they caress each other makes me so fucking squeamish and uncomfortable. What is that?
And not for nothing, this is also coming from somebody who is very touchy-feely, and you can attest to this.
Yes, you're very Italian.
I want to hold your hand. I want to, you know, cuddle up to you and stuff, but also, like, this was a lot for me. Like, Paul mm-hmm. is all over her, and it's uncomfortable, and only noticed it after the whole wall-punching thing.
He's trying to be, like, physically there for her, and I get that.
But he
it is not how it comes across.
Oof.
Don't do this.
Anyway.
Ever.
They both stay, which is atrocious, but they do. And we're down to Jamie and Dave, and they give Jamie the business. Mm-hmm. Alessandra, for whatever reason, is like, you're intimidating to your friends. And she's like, yeah, but, like, did you see what they did to me? And it doesn't fucking matter.
And Jamie, I will say, though, I didn't like the whole mama bear thing.
Yeah, I think the mama bear thing is dog shit.
I mean, the mama bear thing, it was a very funny analogy. I'm a mama bear. I just want to protect my cubs. And when I see my cubs being attacked, I attack. Uh-huh. And then Alessandra cutting her off saying, that's not what a mama bear does. Mama bears in nature eat their cubs all the time.
Yeah.
When they're starving.
Yeah.
The fuck are you talking about?
I don't know.
Is the worst analogy I've ever heard.
I don't know.
We all stop with what we don't know what we're talking about.
I'll say this. Alessandra just coming at Jamie the way she did. Here's the thing. Jamie's being wound up by not just Lauren, but also Karina and, to a lesser extent, Ree. She has had to defend herself the entire week because she dared to stand up to the person insulting everyone. She dared to request and demand accountability from someone who should have been reprimanded way more severely.
And suddenly, too.
Exactly. Someone who, like, separated themselves from the group in a very clear attempt to indicate that, oh, we are not of the same world. And when TJ went over there and said, hey, what's going on? She's like, well, I don't want to be near the troll. I'm sorry. Does anybody want to talk about that? Does anyone want to bring that up? Jamie has been getting it from so many sides. And we've seen Jamie types. We've seen this before. We've had Dominica in season 9, right? Dominica and Jamie are very similar in that they are European backgrounds, explosive argument style, and it's all out. No yeah, holds
they're
barred.
They're not afraid to get into
They're not afraid to get into it. What Dominica lacked that Jamie has is the ability to articulate exact feelings with patience and understanding at first, but then when it's repeatedly demonstrated to her that you're not getting anywhere with this, yeah, whatever. Fucking start telling them they're dumb.
What more human quality could you have? I mean,
I don't know.
Demonstrating your growth by being that patient and finding the right words to explain to an actual dunce what happened and why you're feeling and why you're reacting the way that you are is like years of therapy for most people. And she just does it. I don't know.
Like,
I don't
a
know
lawyer.
She must have been in therapy for a while, because, like, I don't know anyone who can just do that.
She just, like, is able to communicate exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she did not deserve this kind of
lashing. No, and I get it. She did tell Karina, shut your mouth. She said, shut your mouth. And that is after being pushed to the edge of, like, why is this going nowhere? I would also be flinging glasses and all that. You know, I would pull a fucking Dominica right then and there.
If you claim to be a friend, if you claim to be neutral enough that you're, like, going to have other people's backs, and then Lauren doesn't show up, and then you're being asked to apologize, maybe just, like, concede a little bit. Be like, you know what? I guess I'm sorry I didn't have your back. Clearly Lauren didn't fucking care enough. And that's all it was. It would have been pleasant. Like, I don't understand this idea that Karina needs to be completely devoid of any sort of blame. Just completely 0% blame.
But what happens instead? Alessandra, she has a special saying in Spanish. Mike, can you...
Oh, the special saying in Spanish. Yes, of course. It's... I don't speak Spanish.
Which translates to
the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Oh, is that a Spanish saying?
It's a Spanish saying specifically.
Oh, just in Spanish?
I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions is, even for our time, like already so phrased in old timey way. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it translates directly from Spanish the way she says it. But it's also like, we have this thing in Spanish. It just felt like, oh my God.
It's just another way to be like, I am about to teach you something.
I know. The thing is, this is again why I'm respecting Alessandra less and less, is because she had Karina's back over this thing. And then she's coming at Jamie so extremely. And I don't care. We've seen enough. We have seen, the viewers have seen enough of what Jamie's had to endure. And why she's done it. And we've also seen Afina and Beth get lumped in as, quote, mm-hmm. mean girls. And yet we're not, like, Afina's spoken up. She just hasn't spoken up to the extent that Jamie has. She's also not been betrayed by Karina yet. Anyway. And so, like, obviously she's not going to be as heated. But, like, we're talking mean girls, plural. What's this? You know, why are we only talking to Jamie about
this? There's so much left unsaid at this couch session.
I think it's
but what
absurd.
Is said, Jamie apologizes to Karina. She does it beautifully.
She means it. Yeah.
It's necessary. It needed to happen. She even knew going in, she's like, I do need to apologize to Karina.
Right.
She didn't need Alessandra to shame her into doing it. So that's why we get a genuine apology from her and a lengthy one too. And Karina's just like, thanks, Jamie.
And nothing.
And then never, ever, ever apologizes for her part in it. Or even at this point, Karina doesn't need to apologize. She's been absolved.
I know.
But you can still acknowledge that that was a shitty situation that Jamie was in and that her being riled up made some sense. Like, at least an olive branch,
yeah.
And I would have respected Karina
a little bit more. It honestly, it bothers me so much that she is absolved, truly, that she gets the apology and then doesn't have to fucking deal with it again. But it also speaks to this idea of, like, you have to be better than everyone else. I don't know why Jamie's being held to this higher expectation. She and Dave have been an exemplary fucking couple. They've always spoken up at the right time. They have had the group's interest at heart. They have spoken up for people who don't necessarily want to do that for themselves.
They have.
And so they're always also commended for that. But when it gets a little bit out of hand because she keeps getting attacked over it, then why are you coming down on her?
Yeah, and well, they're only commended, and they always are commended when it's about other people and stuff, but when it's about them, like Jamie says,
why can't it turn inward?
Yes, exactly. And it is exhausting to be in a position like that for such a long time with so many people involved.
Yeah.
So here's my little theory, because then we go to Dave, and we ask Dave, how's he feeling? Oh, we find out Jamie said she loves him, and he seems so much more shut down than we're used to. I kind of feel like, this is just a theory, mm-hmm. of course, it's exhausting to be in this position as Dave, as well as Jamie.
Agreed.
So he's been the supporting role this whole time.
Yeah.
Right? We see that. We see that, you know, he's mm-hmm. been supporting her actively. But he also lets her fight her fights. Mm-hmm. But he's also there listening to her behind the scenes, which
must be nonstop. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Karina doesn't apologize. She's not asked to.
No.
She at no point has to take accountability. Nobody even mentions it. So
absurd.
The status quo is now Jamie was wrong all along. And so I think if I'm Dave, I'm sitting back and I'm not being Clint, and I'm thinking, well, my wife was wrong, now I'm a bad guy too, and I'm shutting down. Do you think that this may lead into what happens next with them?
So I think that it's already done. I think what it is that she is explosive and it does get out of hand and he does have her back, but it's the coming home and not being able to have a moment of time away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie is talking his head off at the beginning of this episode about it. And you know, it can be exhausting, especially since he seems like an introverted guy. The thing is, the way he responds to being asked about Jamie saying I love you, I didn't quite like.
Yeah.
But I also thought, oh, this is just very matter of fact. Maybe it's just how Dave does it. So Jamie's like, I told him, don't say anything. I love you. And then I said, don't say anything. And then
she didn't say it recently, though. I feel like we saw her say this a couple episodes ago. Yeah, a couple weeks ago to Afina, I want to say.
I don't know.
She admitted that this had happened. So it's not like it just happened.
No, but the thing. Okay, so the thing is, Dave is said, oh, and you didn't say it back. And he goes, no, that's it. That I didn't quite like, but I was like, yeah, you know, he didn't. And we get this music under it. And I'm like, what are they fucking doing?
I hated that.
I hated it too, because just show us the next episode. Like, you don't need to cast a pall on this and make it look a certain way. Give us the preview and then do it there. Like, it doesn't need to be this. Anyway, partner swap. Partner swaps are intense because
intense, but oddly short for a 3-day partner swap. We don't see very much.
We don't see much at all. We get 2 episodes of partner swaps, but it's mostly, it's very whatever. And then we get the letter challenge and then the dinner party. And that's it. We don't see much.
No. But we do see Jackie writing her letter about Ryan to Jeff for Ryan.
Kicking things off, everybody's pretty receptive to this. Everybody's like, hey, great. We all know each other pretty well. Let's go for it. And then Beth is like, no, Ryan, really? Fuck.
That's the only correct reaction.
Right, exactly. And then you've got, Elliot, who's looking forward to hanging out with Ree and learning where he's gone wrong.
Elliot feels like a little schoolboy here to me.
He does.
He's got his little notebook. Yep. He's asking the right questions. He's listening to teacher.
He's trying. The thing is, I
he's almost cute here, and I hate that I'm saying that.
I know. I can't stand that we're rooting for Elliot in some sense. And it's,
but the tides are shifting.
They are. And so we've got, you know, Jeff, and Jeff is kind of like, ew, Jackie, really? And that's kind of funny.
Well, they have a nice laugh about it. I think that's really cute. Like, that's how you know they're a strong relationship, too. Ree doesn't give a fuck.
No, not anymore.
She's like, ha, fun.
Yeah, exactly. And then we've got Karina. And so Paul, Afina's supposed to come over, and Karina is like,
Cry me a fucking river.
Uncomfy with the whole thing. She doesn't want to live with TJ. Oh my God, I don't want to be away from my husband. And she starts crying, and Paul's like, well, whatever. And that's when
learn. Paul's not whatever. He's comforting her. Yeah. He's all hands all over her. Right. Fucking.
Well, he's kind of like, this will be fun. Like, he's like, okay with it. But he's cameras.
He's so fucking two-faced.
I know. Oh, because to the confessional camera, he's like, this will be fine. And then to Karina, it's like, no, I hate it too. I can't believe they're making us do this, babe. I would never want to leave you. Meanwhile, he is talking to Cameron. He's like, yeah, I know Afina. Actually, I had a little fling with her sister back in the day. And that's how we know each other. And that's, we're pals.
He's like, I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. It's great.
And then Karina's like, well, Afina is identical twin sisters with Cleo. And they had a fling. So Cleo and Paul had a fling, and I'm just uncomfortable with her staying here, and she should not stay in the bed. And it's like,
okay. Well, she takes Paul into the bedroom and whispers to him while Afina's in the fucking other room, which is so funny to me, but also scary.
Yeah, I don't care for her at all. Mm-hmm. She gets there, Afina gets there, and she's like, okay, and then they all have a conversation. Afina kind of has to like,
I love Afina, babe. Here. She comes in, she's like, oh my God, are you crying? Are you okay? Yeah. Why are you crying? And she's like comforting, and then she kind of lightens the mood by making a couple jokes, you know?
She's doing great here. Yeah. I think that the problem lies in Karina. And then so Karina, instead of going straight to TJ, she gets a separate room to cry in, which is absurd.
Absurd.
Fucking grow the fuck up.
She's full on sobbing in the other room. Like, you are the only one having this reaction, girly. I'm sorry, but it's really embarrassing for you.
And this is a guy that you know from the experiment who is nice and like you can talk to.
Do you think that maybe she just didn't want to go room with that caliber of people?
Oh boy. That's the thing. So Kix and I were talking about this whole thing.
Yeah, shout out Kix.
Shout out to Kix. We were talking about the Karina Karina's comment about Aphina's sister being, oh, I didn't realize that you would go for that caliber, she says to Paul. We learned that in the letter later on. What do you mean by caliber, girl? Like, incredibly hot and, like, cool and successful? Like, mm-hmm. What's the caliber thing here?
Oh, we know.
And we know. Racism. Very likely racism. And then, so, Kix and I were talking, and I was like, you know, I think I got a sense of, like, Karina wants to portray this, like, conservative, prude, you know, highly religious person, but then all of a sudden is, like, bragging about having slept with rappers like Quavo and Drake. Also, side note, Paul's reaction to that, like, I also thought was maybe, like, he loves Drake, and it's like, fuck, now every time I think about Drake, it's like, he fucked my wife, or whatever. But really, I think it's just, like, maybe they're both racist. Like, I just, like, the idea of bragging about having slept with, like, two prominent black rappers, and then being like, didn't think you'd go for that caliber, Paul, just tells me it's like Kix worded it in a way that I gotta remember.
Kix was talking about exceptionalism.
Yes, black exceptionalism, being like, yes, while I don't respect this race, this is one of the good ones. You know yes. what I mean? That, like that kind of very hyper specific racism that is like exceptionalism.
You choose out of the pack yeah. the one that you like, and you say you're yes. different. It's like it's just like what is done to women. You're not like other girls. It's yeah. like that whole thing with an entire race of people.
And so.
And yeah, I can see that here too. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, so let's keep on with Paul and Aphina. Paul and Aphina get on great.
Well, he writes his fucking letter and he says all the things that have been piling up in his yep. fucking mind. Oh, just vibrating. Oh, he can't say it to Karina's face. He's so afraid.
Yes.
But he says it to Aphina. And he writes it in a letter.
He writes it in a letter and he calls Karina a snob
mm-hmm.
and says...
The key word here.
He calls her... She can be a bit of a snob sometimes. And, you know, this... She wants to portray herself one way, but I it just feels like it's put on and...
She puts on a happy face. He's worried now about the jealousy.
Yeah, and exactly. The jealousy of her discomfort with Aphina being there.
Mm-hmm.
And... Like, so all this stuff, and he's like, and then she made a comment about your sister, which kind of gave me the ick, and then he tells her about the caliber thing, and Aphina's like, what? Is it because, like, all the tattoos? And he's like, well, I mean, I have tattoos, and she too does, but also, like, where she's from.
Yeah, he throws her the biggest hint. He just won't say it. And yeah. I really think they're not allowed to bring up racism and really, like, serious topics on this show. I think they're told not to say those words. Probably. But let's just say it. He wanted to be like, no, she's it's because racist. Of... Yeah. Because he does say, yeah, the tattoos, yeah. Or I would never judge someone from where they're from.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And we gloss over that so ooh, fucking quick. Aphina doesn't ever. Seem to pick it up either. No, bless she her
does.
Heart.
She does.
You think so?
Oh, she does. But then she goes, oh, okay, what? And then she starts going in on Karina being like, yeah, oh, you mean someone who like owns their own home, mm-hmm. has a successful business, is absolutely drop dead beautiful, a
wonderful is aunt.
And a great aunt, a respected member of a community. What does she? Oh, I'm sorry. She doesn't live at home with her parents mm-hmm. or work a job with her family company.
I love spicy Aphina.
Yeah, dude. Bring
I
her back.
Love spicy Aphina.
Bring that
so
energy
much.
To Adrian,
and then
by
also,
the way.
Also, when I found out that Cleo bought her own house. She just got 10 billion gajillion times hotter to me, and I'm sorry, I didn't think that was possible.
I mean, yeah, she's a fucking smoking hot babe, and then also, I, you know,
if
I wonder what she
does
for work.
If we were not together...
Wow.
And I lived in Australia...
What are we doing here?
I'm just saying, I have a girl crush. I mean... Sorry, Jackie.
Okay, well...
What was you at the beginning of the episode?
I mean, I wonder what she does for work, because...
Yeah.
Do you think
she's a tattoo artist?
No, I mean... Like, I just looked her up on Instagram really quick, and her thing says, no Snapchat, no OnlyFans.
Respect.
But it doesn't say what she does.
Again, email us at...
StayOrLeaveMaths@gmail.com.
I'll remember the email one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days.
Tell us what you do, Cleo.
So,
because I want to own my own home.
Ooh.
It's really hard here in Canada.
Cleo's broken her silence on the matter, by the way, based on the insult.
Go on.
There's an article I haven't read yet. So she went on... social media to say that the remark was shitty. My inbox has flooded from people wanting to know how I feel about the comment that was made by Karina, Cleo said in the video. on Instagram. I would have preferred none of my past relationships be aired. However, my sister went on reality TV, so this is bound to happen.
She's embarrassed about Paul, and I get it.
Yeah, dude, probably.
I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much to say, but she's like, yeah, it's shitty. Fuck you. Like, it's that's it.
You know what? That's my girl Cleo right there.
Okay, calm it down.
She's secret. Keep it in she's your a pants, fucking international Lira super spy. Sorry if I just outed that and I'm correct. I'm sorry.
Okay, keep Oopsies. It in your pants, Lira Month. Take it easy.
Okay.
Next, we have Dave and Veronica. Dave and Veronica are just getting along. And
dude, no, she's hitting on him.
She is hitting on him.
She's low-key about it, but she is hitting. She's sending him fucking signals.
I don't think it's low-key at all.
Well, you didn't catch it.
No, I did catch it.
No, I said she's hitting on him, and you were like, what?
I said, you think?
Whatever.
Come on now. She was hitting on him. I think I didn't catch it at first, but then there were a couple things I was like, oh, she's into him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. She's giving him eyes and everything.
Everything. And the thing is, she, oh, man, she is just like, ah, talking to the camera like, ah, I'm laughing again. Who knew I can laugh? Ugh, right?
God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm a jokey person. You didn't get to see that side of me yet, huh?
What is this, Morena 2.0? What is literally happening
right
now?
It's baby Morena over here. And the other thing is, like, she is saying that, oh, the bare minimum is, oh, he's doing the bare minimum here. He's acknowledging me and we're having conversations. And it's like, I don't know, dude. We've seen you walk into a room, see Elliot is there and seethe.
Yeah, literally.
I don't know if you have a leg to stand on.
She comes in and like finds the first thing to give him a backhanded comment on, like the reading thing with Ree.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to finish a lot of books when you're with Ree. He also jabs at her and then she goes in on him.
Yeah.
And we see Elliot be like, hey, actually, if we just back up a little bit, you did jab me. And she says, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. It's fucking insane.
I think this cast is rife with people I would never want to associate with.
Yeah.
They're people whose behavior is appalling to the point, like Veronica, to the point of making Elliot seem like not the villain, considering what we were introduced to. Lauren, Clint, Veronica, Elliot, I never want to meet. Jackie, I'm curious.
I would want to meet Elliot. I would want to meet Elliot. I would want to be able to like give him the time of day and decide for myself.
Jackie, it's more of a curiosity thing. I would meet her. But Adrian, fuck off. Like Ryan, Jesus Christ, get a life. Like,
well, we are going to be going to a LARPing event, so I think we'll see Ryan there at some point.
Okay. Jake and Tim, Sierra, Morena. All
who's
these people.
Jake,
the dude who said she has crazy eyes. Yeah. Robbed us of Ashley, you little prick. Fuck you.
OG crazy eyes.
Anyway, point is, Veronica and Dave are hitting it off, essentially. And he's smiling and laughing, but he's kind of like, yeah, it's a nice time.
Yeah. And, you know, they're one of those couples in the couple swap that decides to share the bed.
Yeah.
Which, everyone has a couch. What's happening here?
Yeah.
I mean, at least there was one couple. I forget who. They put pillows in between.
Beth
like Jamie
and Ryan?
And Ryan?
No.
Do they?
I think so.
They must, I guess. But yeah.
Oh, Jamie and Adrian. No, I think they just shared the bed. Okay. I don't know. Jeff
Is
and
TJ. Is that a specific part of the partner swap to do that?
I think that it's kind of floated to them by production. And like, if you're comfortable with it, do it. Whereas, like, I think TJ and Jeff were like, I'd never do that. And those are the two that definitely did not.
Jeff
do
being
it.
Like, immediately, I'm sleeping on the couch. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, TJ. Thank you.
Look, I would have to move my sleep apnea machine out of the bedroom, but I'll do that.
Aw, you're such a good guy, Mike.
Fuck yourself. Anyway, Dave and Veronica are hitting it off a little too much, I think.
Definitely too
much. And I think it has a little something to do with the fact that, like, Jamie talks a lot, and Dave is like, I have to get used to this, but I think that there's a medium to be struck between them. The thing is, it's so hyper-contained in the experiment. You're with them all the time.
Yeah, like, this is literally the joy of being with somebody different. And, like, they're like, we have banta. We really get along. And when you listen to what they're giggling about, it's fucking nothing.
No, she's doing that classic thing where she's like, everything you say is so funny.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course he's going to love
that. So flirty. Anyway, next up, we got Jamie and Adrian, who... Okay. Adrian just makes her feel insecure and approaches it like she's talking to one of the bros. But
yeah, exactly. Oh, well, he's a good guy. No, he's not. He is not fucking putting so much doubt in you.
Yeah.
And while unfortunately it looks like he's right, it's like this is this is not a friend.
No, I don't. I disagree with him. I think that he put this stuff in her head, and like she was gonna get there at some point, I guess. But the way it happened was pretty aggressive at a time that was already sensitive.
Because Adrian's also like the world's biggest fuckboy. He has it written all over his fucking face, dude. And he's like, oh well, if he doesn't want to fuck you, then you know he must not like you very much, I guess.
And then the thing is, like, Dave does bring up a point, like people have different sex drives. Like, sex is important, but it's also, like, not the end-all be-all for some people. Mm-hmm. And, like, the fact that, like, the implication here being, like, you should be all over me all the time. It's like, not everybody's like that.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that she does go at him later on like that, pointing and jabbing. Like, yeah.
And then we see his style, which is kind of like he's waiting for a dismissal to retreat and pull away. And look, it's... we'll get to them after the fact, but Adrian plants some seeds in Jamie.
It's interesting to see that Jamie, at no point do we see her give him any advice or them talk about Athena and Adrian, and like Adrian desperately needs that. Oh, but they're in a good place right now.
We don't see both sides happen.
No,
never.
I fucking hate that.
Yeah, Paul doesn't have any advice to give Athena, but like, what would he fucking say?
Like, Dave, leave Adrian.
What?
He would say leave Adrian if he's being for real.
He wouldn't be though. Anyway. Jeff and Jackie, it's so funny because Jackie's like, hey, okay, steam my dress.
Immediately out the gate. She had it out of the fucking bag.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing?
She's setting him up for success is what she's doing. She's bringing all the things to him that Ryan wouldn't do or she'd have to like beg him to do and being like, Jeff will do it.
But also Jeff is like, oh, I got salmon because I know you're health conscious and I'm going to make you dinner. And she's like, you know, no one's cooked for me this entire time. And he's like, oh, okay. And like, he's offered her, he's like insisting on him staying on the couch. He is, I mean,
who wouldn't?
That's
it's Jackie.
That's the thing, though. It's like, I think Jeff is just a decent dude. It's like, it's easy to say that.
Well, you want to say he's a basic dude.
That's it.
Because he's decent. But that's apparently it. Not. Apparently. Exactly. That is above and beyond these days.
I know, which is like fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah.
What do you mean my batting average goes up just because I would offer a couch up? That's fucking insane.
I am sad for all women. Yeah, all hetero cis women everywhere.
Hell yeah, dude. But go men, you know? anyway.
There should be an International Men's Day.
It's every day, baby. So Jackie and Jeff are getting along. It's just not a big deal for them. And Jackie's kind of like, see, I'm so validated. Ryan does fucking nothing for me. And it's as easy as nothing for Jeff. Like, Jeff is just kind of doing it because that's what a partner does. He shows up and Ryan, it's validating to her, but she's got nothing to offer him. She writes her letter and apparently it's 3 pages long. Half of the first page is nice things about Ryan, and then it's just fucking bullet point after bullet point, single spaced, fucking double sided, going in on Ryan about all the ways that she's afraid that he won't be showing up and how fragile his ego is and all that stuff. And Jeff is like, dude, if that letter gets read to him, I don't understand how you guys are going to be sticking around. And yet they do.
Because
Ryan's a spineless nerd who sucks and doesn't understand what
words
mean. He'll
never find love anywhere else. This is his only chance.
So we'll move on because I want to keep this going. TJ and Karina end up getting along. And there's nothing else to say there because it's just kind of like...
Well, because there's nothing wrong with TJ.
Exactly.
He's just an accommodating guy. Do we even fucking hear what either of them writes in their letter? Because who cares, right?
Yep.
I would like to have known what Karina had written. Because we see Paul open up for the first time and show a personality, we don't get that from Karina at any point, and I do want to know what she fucking said about
him. We don't have most of the letters, if we're being real.
Yeah, but we don't have TJ's either.
No, we don't have anybody's here. But so, like, we have Elliot and Ree. We don't get a letter from either of them, but what we do see is Rhi is like, Elliot's kind of like...
Well, we see Elliot asking her questions, which yes. I think is better than what they end up doing with the letter thing.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that he's kind of like, so, having spoken to Veronica and what she looks for, and maybe something that I'm not seeing, like, what can I do to make this a little bit easier on her and, like, kind of see where we can bridge the gap. And Rhi's like, well, she's mentioned that she wants to be acknowledged when she walks into a room. Like, just some real,
you know, for sure contact. She said that, like, with, like, so much sauce in yeah. her voice, though.
Yeah.
Elliot doesn't even look at me when I walk into a room. Like, does he not? It's you mean hard. When he's reading a book?
Yeah.
Or do you mean when you, like, go to the bathroom and come back out? Like, what yeah. do you mean?
I don't know. That's the other thing is, like, we'll get to her again in a sec. But mm-hmm. the point is Rhi and Elliot kind of just get along fine. And she's like, Elliot's kind of fine. He's whatever. And Elliot's like, I really appreciate Rhi taking the time to, like, hear me out and give me advice.
Yeah. And him being like, I actually see Jeff and Rhi as one of the strongest couples in yeah. this experiment. I'm really looking forward to learning whatever I can.
Exactly.
And it's so sad because he doesn't get to use any of it.
Not at all. And so the final couple swap is Beth and Ryan, and Beth gets there while Jackie's still in, and they're all kind of like, haha, this is uncomfortable and it sucks, right? Anyway, Ryan's going to enforce the rules here. We have a swear jar. And she's like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
And the way that it's Jackie saying it.
I know.
It's really her rule and Ryan's supposed to be her little enforcer. And then, of course, we don't end up seeing it a swear jar because it's Ryan.
Because Beth is just not going to fucking...
Oh, she disengages completely.
Entirely. Well, that's because Ryan's...
That fucking letter he writes to her.
Yeah. About them. You know, yeah. So like he writes this letter about them and is just like so pointed.
Psycho shit, dude.
It makes me wonder like, oh, Ryan, if you think yourself a warrior and a project manager, let me tell you something. You should get fucking flagged for anything you say ever.
HR should be on alert. The way he talks to women is so alarming to me. It's
absolutely alarming. The man is unwell. And the fact that he like thinks that he gets to just say this stuff.
He's not unwell. He's not unwell. He has ideals and morals and
okay,
they are not good.
He's not unwell, but he's a bad person. I'm mm-hmm. going to say it. I don't think that there's any world in which these questions get written the way they are, where you can argue that the source is a good source. The man is a bad person. The man is detached, and also yet he wants to control. Jackie nails it when she's
she
like,
actually does.
He wants a young fucking trad wife. Like, that's it.
And he's so offended by that. But then in the same fucking moment, he's so offended that she would ever even... insinuate that he could be a single father.
A stay-at-home dad.
A stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, not a single father.
Well, she does say if I'm in the hospital or if I die.
Would you take care of my children?
So he wouldn't be a single father either.
What would you do with your children then? That's a thing.
Because it would be an insult to take care of them, right?
She attacks his ego, and it's fair because she's like, you have a massive ego and you are easily emasculated.
Dunning-Kruger effect. He's both not got the intelligence to back it up, buddy.
Both of them suffer from this. They both think they're experts in stuff that they aren't. And
Jackie's
like,
smart in a very...
Look, she can be smart. She can be accredited in all that stuff, but she is not demonstrating mastery of... many things.
No, it's true, but she would be burned at the stake if she was back in the Salem witch trials.
You know what?
She's that kind of smart.
I think she's a witch. She's scary like one because the craziness that comes from that is wild. I don't understand many of the decisions they've made and I don't feel safe with them.
No.
So what do we got? Beth and TJ get back together and they're like, thank God. It's like, yeah, I missed you. I missed you too. It just made me feel like we're so well suited. And I don't want to settle for anything less than that.
Yeah.
Jeff and Rhi are like, oh, I missed you. I love you so much. Great. Afina and Adrian joke around like, yeah, you could have stayed a little longer. Ah, shut up, you. They're like cute about it, but I hate it.
Well, she starts going in about like,
oh, she does, you know, talk,
she starts
about
confiding in Adrian about
the comments Paul. About Cleo. And then Adrian goes, I think her comments about Cleo are out of line. And it's like, pot calling the kettle black, my guy.
Yeah.
This guy went off about her already. How about you go fuck yourself too, buddy? I think, like Adrian.
But yeah, at the same time, he's like, okay, I can see how that is really bad. And sure. Like, even Cleo doesn't deserve that. It crosses a line.
Sure.
So I respect that for the first time we see Adrian, although he does it in the laziest way possible, support his wife.
He is such a... I don't like him. At all.
No, of course not.
At all.
I'm just giving credit where it's due.
Sure.
This is the first time I've seen him listen to her and react truly. In a way that isn't being a fucking knob.
Yeah.
So good job, Adrian. Yeah. You're on the right path.
Yeah. So we've already seen Jackie and Ryan. We've already talked about that letter, her saying that he's easily emasculated. Oh, she worries that he'll never make as much money as her, or she'd have to be the breadwinner. And then, would you ever be a stay-at-home father? And he's like,
See, the thing is, like, while clocking that he has a small ego, she also goes ahead and attacks it immediately. Like,
yeah.
Double fucking punch.
Yeah, dude.
That's a combo hit right there.
That's pretty funny. It makes no sense. And Jeff is right. Hey, if anybody comes at you with that kind of thing and you're not in a, this is good and I want to learn from this.
Read this letter in a fucking public place so that we know you're okay.
Jesus. Yeah, for real.
But then Jeff's also having so much fun.
He is kicking his feet like.
Yes, clicking his excited. Heels.
Yeah. He's like in bed kicking his feet up and down like, oh my God, the sleepover's happening. You know, it's like he's like jazzed about.
He's got all the tea and he is delighted to use
it. So excited. And so who do we get? We get Veronica and Elliot. Veronica walks in. And she's like, ugh, this guy again. And then she's like, so what I learned was that you don't do the minimal things. And he's like what? And she's like, you don't acknowledge me. You don't. Like, acknowledge that I exist, Elliot. And he's like, I do.
He asks for examples from her. Yeah, and the examples like, she gives are like, well, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave does this for me. He makes me dinner and then he takes my plate and then he washes the dishes and he asks me if I need a condiment. Do you see what I mean?
And he's like, yeah, like a restaurant. And she's like, wow, is that really what you want to have said, Elliot? You know what? You're beneath me. He doesn't like he's immediately attacked out the gate. She's already so unhappy to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because I think she's just done with him. She likes Dave very
clearly.
I
do think that he should know better than to make a comment, like snide comment like that. Oh, it's like a restaurant.
Yeah,
I mean, fucking, you got to play the game here at this point.
I'll tell you what, though. Talk about muting your personality for someone else, though.
Oh, my God. Big time.
Like, so he's like, I want somebody who can banter with me. And when they first met, they can banter.
Mm-hmm.
They banter just fine. She'll jab, he'll jab back. And ha ha hee hee. But it's when she finds out about Lauren and goes talks to Lauren. The second he says anything that's even slightly a jab.
Yep.
It's over. And that's unfair. It fucking sucks. And I don't.
Ironically, it's what we wanted for him, though. Isn't
I know
it?
It's exactly
and we're getting
what we
it. And it's like, ooh, this is bad too.
Yeah, this is equally bad. And here's the thing: I hope he grows and learns from this, and ends up becoming a better person.
I think we're seeing him do
I
that.
I think we see him.
It's
trying.
Interesting with Elliot because I think we're actually seeing it happen,
which is nice, and mm-hmm. I like that. But I'm also like, I wonder if this will stick. You know, so that's
well, you can say getting, that for anybody in this experiment.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Veronica, truly a terrifying person. Saying you're beneath me is an absurd.
Too far. That comment is probably one of the worst.
It's pretty disgusting.
Even with the whole caliber comment going on in here, I'm like, that is up there.
Yeah.
You can't do that to people. You are. Getting up and leaving the room when
every chance you get you're not even letting anybody speak. You are contorting words. She says don't paraphrase my words. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
What a fucking
never paraphrase my words. I am not a fucking I don't have an eidetic memory.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to do that? Don't be a human in my presence. You disgust me. You're beneath me.
I don't fuck with Veronica.
She doesn't give him the chance to read his letter. And I think that is on purpose.
Yep.
I don't think she just makes a lot of assumptions about him. And that's why it's like assumptions are so dangerous. We do need to let people grow. We do need to allow them the space to prove themselves again. I'm glad. I was not happy when Elliot came back.
Mm-hmm.
I am glad he came back because this is, again, this is like, this is the nature documentary moment for me.
Yeah.
Right? We're learning, we're seeing, we're proving that like our assumptions about people at the beginning of things, like people can change if we let them.
Yeah.
I love this show.
I love this show too. So we'll talk about Jamie and Dave, them coming back together. Jamie filled, mind clouded by all the fucking paranoia that Adrian has put in her head, comes at Dave and says, hey, you know, I'm always the one who initiate everything. Are you not attracted to me? Is it because you're not at the love stage with me that you're pulling away? And he's like, no, I care about you. I do. But like, you know, sex isn't everything to me. And, you know, there's other things. And she's like, OK, so like you're saying, no, I'm not into you. And he's like, well, that's not what I'm saying. She's like, he's like, OK, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you're like, fine. OK, what? And then, you know.
And then she gets up. She's like, excellent. And walks out of the room. Mm-hmm. We see that conversation happen. They're on the couch together. Mm-hmm. It continues. She moves over to the kitchen. She's farther away. It continues. She gets up and leaves the room. I side with Jamie in that he needed to give her more reassurance in that moment. Like, there is a way to do it where you are both saying, hey, yeah, it's correct. You got me. And then also being like, but hey, I want this to work. Or, hey, here's what I need.
Yeah.
And we don't see him lift a fucking finger. He's just answering the fucking questionnaire.
You're not expressing in any way what's pushed you away, which is part of the problem, because it's clear that you're being pushed away right now.
Yeah.
Is it because she said, I love you? Is it because, you know, you guys wake up and it's immediately like, can you believe Karina fucking blah, 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 blah? Or is it because
6 weeks into this experiment, it's too fast for me?
Yeah.
Valid.
Sex isn't everything.
Six weeks is a long time.
Is it what?
6 weeks is a long time.
It's a long time, especially condensed, and you're spending all this time with someone. I don't know. The idea that it's too fast is also nuts to me, because you can fall in love with someone quick.
You can be in tune with your feelings and know how you feel about a person pretty quick, until they give you a reason.
Yeah.
And I still think that Jamie did give him a reason
a little bit
when going off at Karina and Lauren and all that, and then not getting the apology back, meaning that it was indeed in everyone's eyes, in the group's eyes, the bad guy, the instigator, you know? And
she doesn't deserve that though.
She doesn't. I think that was a moment there for them. Anyway,
moving on to Karina and Paul. Paul reads his letter to Karina. Or does he?
Oh my God, watching this man read is...
It's painful.
It brings me back to like grade 8 English, you know, and you would have to read poetry in front of the class or just sitting at your desk and listening to those students, just, you know, they don't read.
Well, it makes sense because Paul is French and he probably, you know,
it's hard to read your own writing.
That too. So Paul, they get the letter saying, so remember those letters you wrote to your other partners and you got your stuff out off your chest? Well, you're going to read those letters exactly as they are to your actual partners. And he's like, oh,
I have never been honest with this woman once.
Anyway, you'll see. And she's like, okay, that's kind of scary. Karina's like unsettled by it.
Yeah.
And then Paul reads the letter, leaves out the part where he calls her a snob. Brings up the thing that about Cleo.
Pretends like he's lost his place multiple times and yet is reading the same sentence over and over.
Tells production that he didn't intentionally skip over anything, that he didn't know. Oh, I know. I didn't. I read it as is. And the production's like, Paul,
listen, you look worse.
Lying.
As like, oh, I'm just an idiot. Ha ha. That looks so much worse than being like, yeah, I regret writing that.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
Whoopsie. And he backtracks a ton. Mm-hmm. It's a whole fucking thing. Karina's like, let me read it. And she reads it and she's like, oh, well, that wasn't. Did you not want to call me a snob? And he's like, well, the thing is, I didn't think it was appropriate in the moment to just read it as like I wrote it. And I was like, oh, maybe that's a little too harsh. She's like, ah, OK. So this is how you see me then. He's like,
is this what you read to Athena?
She's like, yeah, exactly as it is. And she's like, OK. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought those comments were made within the trust bubble of our marriage, so I just didn't think that that was a fair thing to bring up to someone who isn't in our marriage, but okay. And then we get this weird shot from outside looking in where he's like touching her neck still and going, ugh. Are we, whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about, She's like, I don't fucking buy it. I don't fucking believe it. I don't like it. I don't like him. I hate her. I hate him.
Look,
get these people off
my fucking
screen. They're both
the fucking villains. Yes.
Nice. So I think the dinner party we can sum up pretty well.
What a sad dinner party.
It's such a sad dinner party because everybody's like, what happened to Jamie and Dave?
Also, why the fuck did you make her walk in all alone first?
First.
Put one couple in there first as a fucking, you know, I get it. We want Jamie to tell her story. Fine. And get
her
support.
Make her walk in second. Make her walk in second.
All alone?
Unbelievable. And I hate, you know what? It makes me, I fucking hate production for this.
Yeah.
It's a dick move.
We know they're all sitting out there in the hallway waiting their turn separately.
Yeah. So anyway,
what the fuck was that, guys?
Dog shit. So Jamie and Dave come separately. Who else comes separately? Veronica and Elliot.
Yeah.
Those are the only two that come separately. So,
well, Athena and Adrian walk in first after Jamie. And I just want to give Athena a shout out for being such a girl's girl here. She immediately goes and comforts Jamie.
Yeah.
She makes her feel better and it is very nice.
Yeah. And then Jamie gets to talk about it a little bit. The thing is, like, the cocktail party of it all, kind of whatever. We get a bit more of the same from the rest of the week. In fact, this dinner party, we kind of get a bit more of the same the rest of the week. So, you know, Jeff brings up the letter to Jackie and Ryan, and he's like, I don't understand how you guys are still here. Ryan, if that letter was read to me, I'd be like, I'm leaving, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, well, we're a good place now. And you're like, fucking hell, dude. Shut
and
the
Jeff's
fuck
just
up.
Having a time.
He's living.
Being messy. He's
I love messy
drinking.
Jeff.
He's having fun. He's glowing. Yep. We love it. We love to see it. And then Jackie handles it so weirdly, too.
She
just kind of like, ha, 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 ha. No.
We're in a good place.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We have no drama.
Elliot and Veronica have nothing to say. Beth and TJ, more of the same. What I think is interesting is, before we get to Jamie and Dave, is Karina is like, I'm going to have a conversation with Athena. And she's like, can I take you two aside? And she's talking to Paul and Athena. Mm-hmm. And they go into another room and they all sit down. And Athena looks at Paul and is like, Paul, can we have the room, please?
Love that moment.
And he leaves.
Why the fuck is Paul there if Adrian's not?
I'm sorry. What do you need backup for?
Also, we see Adrian like, look like he's contemplating what's
he's
happening
thinking about it, but he
not
wasn't
moving
asked.
A muscle.
No,
I mean, your wife's back, dude.
I would have loved it if she put a hand on his shoulder and he looked up and like a nod, and that would have been nonverbal confirmation like he's not going in with her.
Mm-hmm.
Great, excellent. Would love that, but in this case, it just feels like Adrian just had no fucking desire to be there for her.
It didn't feel like he trusted.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, oh, I believe that she's going to be fine. It felt more like,
those strangers are leaving the room. Wonder what that's all about. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
So Paul goes in, and then Athena's like, please get out of here.
Well, because Karina 100% needed Paul to be there.
100%. Because
she was like, not only do I need a backup, you were also the one who told her.
But then she's like, Athena says, we don't need an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so Karina apologizes for the comment saying, you know, I thought it was just something that was between us. And, you know, I said in the heat of like jealousy and, I would never say that kind of thing. And I didn't mean it. And Athena lets her off the hook so easily.
So easily. And she basically says, you know, I didn't like that. And my sister's a great person.
I appreciate your apology. But also, I think in the back of her head is like, well, they got this racist bitch on camera, so they better not cut it out. I can't see why they would cut this from the broadcast.
She says, I accept your apology. They hug, they make up, and she leaves. Athena is the non-confrontational one.
Yeah. Well, then again, she did speak up to Lauren at the retreat, and she does get involved here and there. I don't think she's non-confrontational. I think she diffused it and was kind of like, okay, you have an apology, but also like, fucking, I don't want to have to deal with this now. Like, I don't want to deal with this. And the less time I have to spend with you, I've seen what happens.
This is the power of an apology, Karina. This proves that she knows how to apologize.
Yeah.
And I guess like when it gets to the point where it's like, oh, this is bad, I do need to account. Like, but also she's like, how dare I have to, because yes, this was in a private place.
Can I just say, maybe, and I didn't think about this until now, maybe, do you think Afina, having seen the experts have Karina's back, despite Karina being in the wrong, do you think Afina was kind of like, well, I don't want to have another thing blow up with Karina and have to deal with that at the commitment ceremony?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. It just felt too easily dismissed.
Because the thing is, the second the comment is made known to the experts, because they didn't say it.
You're right.
They didn't say it there when she apologized. She said, I'm sorry for that comment. Mm-hmm. She doesn't say what it is.
Right.
So the only people who know about the comment are Adrian, Karina, Paul, and Afina.
And I'm going to guess Jamie probably.
No, I don't know. I think Jamie's been having a time. Okay. Well, Jamie's fucking busy.
Speaking of Jamie, the table, everybody's kind of like, well, what happened? And Dave is like, I just realized I didn't have those feelings that she had. And I brought it up on the couch before and everybody's like, no, you haven't. What couch sessions are you talking about? Jamie's like, are we at the different couch sessions? The experts are like, the entire time he's been here, he's been nothing but like, yeah, I can see myself getting there.
Yeah.
And indicating all this. And so Kix messaged me like, who knew that Dave and Sierra were cut from the same avoidant cloth?
Huh.
And that's exactly what we're seeing here. Dave's shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
We have been singing Dave's praises for so long because his behaviors have been great up until this point. He has been supportive of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He has been vocal, standing up for some people, standing up for the morally right thing. He's
been the best. He's been everybody's husband up until now.
Exactly. We've seen him initiate sex with Jamie, but it was like on her fantasy night, and
we saw one
lingerie.
Time
so it's like that's her initiating
but
it's him being like, picking you up time, let's do it.
He's enthusiastic when it is presented.
Exactly.
It appears, but also the cameras were there for that one time, so
sure. But they talked about having sex a bunch on the
couch. For sure. I mean, hot and fiery at the beginning.
Sure.
So what the fuck happened, Dave? It does feel like a bit of a mystery, and we're only like able to guess at this point. It can't just be Veronica.
No, definitely not.
And it can't just be the whole Karina blowout thing, right?
No.
It's got to be something more. And I wonder what his pattern was before Married at First Sight.
Agreed. I think it's like a thing that he's done before. I do think that it's got to be a combination of the Karina thing and the love thing. I do think that those things play in.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the idea of maybe him literally not being someone with a high sex drive, being pestered for sex.
I wonder if he's just not attracted to her.
See, that's it. That's also a possibility. I wonder if it's also like part of not being attracted to her is the fact that she seemingly does not have a moment of silence in her repertoire.
I don't know.
And I don't want to blame Jamie, though. That's the thing, is like,
she is who she is, and she's lovable that way, especially because the things coming out of her mouth are not garbage like so many of these people on this show.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I like see, here's the thing about Jamie. I have a feeling that you can reason with her.
Oh, of course.
No, but what I mean by that, let me finish this thought.
No.
If I'm Dave, okay, I won't finish it. Moving on, we have... So
I apologize because I'm a reasonable person like Jamie.
I accept your apology and I will not apologize because I'm Karina. So
you are Italian.
Fuck yourself.
Not in your blood.
Stop it.
It's a knot in your blood.
How dare you? That's racist.
Was that Italian?
No.
No.
It's Count Dracula.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, Dave, if I were Dave, right? And this was a big problem for me. This idea that like I need my alone time. I need to have some time where it's like a little quiet in the house here and there. And I do like Jamie, and I do like that she chirps and is like constantly talking and so much fun and whatever. I think it's fair to go like, hey, I think you're great. I think you're so much fun. I do enjoy you a lot. You do talk a lot. something that you acknowledge, something that you brought up in our vows. It is a little on the extensive side for me, and I do need a little bit more silence to my life to balance me out.
I feel like this is an exact conversation that you and I have had.
The other way around.
In which I am Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So we know this well.
Yeah, we know this well. It also is just like, hey, do you want to wear the noise canceling headphones while I just like play music for a little bit?
I love my Bosey noise canceling headphones.
You mean my Bosey noise canceling headphones?
Whatever, they're mine now, bitch. They're on my desk.
Wow. Don't call me a bitch on our podcast.
I love you.
Love you too. Okay. So anyway, the thing is like, it is tough to, like, we can only, it's all conjecture, right? We, like, we don't have a real reason. We don't have, like, any real idea why this is happening. But it's happening, and it sucks. And Jamie is torn apart. It sucks.
It sucks, especially because, like, this has not been her experience. So, behind closed doors, Dave had been consistent up until now.
She says, who is that, like, who is that man? That's not the man I married. Afina's like, who is this guy? This is a completely different person.
That broke my heart. She's crying. She says, who is this man that I've been lying next to this whole time?
Yeah.
And honestly, she's sad, but I think she's scared.
Yeah.
That is so scary.
It's terrifying.
You know, like, sex is intimate. I know, big statement.
Wow, hold on a second.
Sex.
Put that in the quote book.
Is an intimate experience.
Sex is intimate.
So
noted.
So knowing that.
Put that in the notebook.
New information.
Uh-huh. Learning.
They've had sex so much throughout this experiment, and like I would feel the most visceral betrayal.
Yeah.
If it turns out that the man that I had been with.
Uh-huh.
And trusted with everything, with my worries, with my fears, with my, you know,
with my
qualms
body.
And my body,
yeah.
Was this now completely different shell?
Massively different. Just like not even a little the same. Not
and on a national, international level.
It's humiliating. And the thing is, what Jamie has going for her is the fact that everybody who is at the table is going, Dave, what the fuck, dude? Like, this isn't who we know, you know, and it's disappointing. And you
except for Veronica. Veronica's kind of like, what are you going to say about me?
Veronica gets that like TV moment of like, you know, Elliot going, well, all Veronica had to say was that she had a really good time with Dave. And so maybe, and Veronica goes like, what about Dave? And Dave is like, we had a good time because we just like got on along. We're just like, no, there's nothing there.
Yeah. And it's Adrian who's the fucking detective this fucking episode. And he's basically like, well, what, you guys like each other or something?
Yeah.
And we get a clip of her reacting to that, perking up, wanting to hear the answer from Dave's mouth.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the TV moment.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That hopeful little moment.
Yeah.
Like, if this was a rom-com, they would be the protagonists and we'd be rooting for them, but this is not the case.
It kind of feels like that moment of, like, you know, like, hey, what would you do if I said I liked you? I don't, but what would you do if I said I liked you?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, good. Well, then in that case, I don't like you.
But you know I can't say that I like you
because
my wife
like
is right here.
Yeah, I don't like you. It's not like that. I don't like you.
Yeah. And then they act like it's ridiculous. And it's like, no, actually, naturally, everyone's wondering.
Everybody's thinking it, especially since Elliot's like, yeah, your entire thing was Dave this, Dave that.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't even let me fucking talk. Anyway, point is...
But then
it's
Dave
been a mess.
Sucks right now. He Dave says, sucks. I don't hate her. I don't hate the
girl. I don't
girl.
Hate the girl.
And he says it like four or five times.
At
he
the
says,
cocktail.
But of course I care for her twice. And I'm like, that's not good. That is...
It's a downgrade of... Yeah.
It's if the nicest thing you can say is I care for her and I don't hate her, we're not getting... It's like Alessandra said, that's the opposite of love feelings.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing.
It
I think
is very
we're all
disappointing.
Let down this week.
This is a rough week, and I think it's time to go to the decision and stay or leave. So, Andrina, give me your hot takes here, if we have any.
That I'm so sad.
I agree.
My hot take? Not really. I think this is what everyone's thinking. Jamie needs to write leave and save yourself, girl. Save yourself now before it's too late. I mean, the next day it's supposed to be the commitment ceremony, right? So she doesn't have much time.
No.
Dave doesn't have much time to prove that he does have any kind of feelings for her.
Right. He is asked at the table, like, do you want to make... He's like, I want to make it work. And you're like, then fucking... She does say,
I want to make it work. Show me. Sips his wine, fucking
But
does
Jamie's
nothing.
Like, okay, if that's the case, then you have to show me, you have to do all this, you know? And so I
he
I
says,
don't
no
know
problem.
Yeah, I don't know that I buy it. If that's your couple for leave, my couple is very clearly...
Well, I think Jamie's going to... I want Jamie. I'm willing her from the past, from the future to the future,
Future's
whatever.
Past.
Future the past.
Kitty Pryde and X-Men.
Please fucking write leave. And then Dave, I think he's going to write stay because now he needs to prove himself.
He needs to rehabilitate
his
image.
It's going to be really painful to watch.
I think I'm going to go an obvious route here and say Elliot and Veronica need to leave. I think they're both going to say leave, or there is a sneaky chance Veronica puts stay. And we all go, why?
And we all know why.
Dave.
Dave.
That does it. Andrina, where can people find you? What do you want them to check out?
Oh, you can find me at Banana Moon Comics if you want to read some of my fun little cartoons. My web comics are there. But if you just want to see me, at Andrina Learmonth on Instagram as well.
Is your Patreon also Banana Moon Comics?
Oh, yeah. I do have a Patreon for Banana Moon Comics where you will get my new comics a day earlier, sometimes a day or two earlier. Than the Instagram feed or anywhere else.
Yeah. So Instagram at Banana Moon Comics and at Andrina Learmonth. Chris Mejia, of course, is at Chris Mejia Comedy and at Topher Mejia. Lindsay Adams is at Lindsay Adams is popular on all platforms except OnlyFans, in which case she's Lindsay Adams, but not sex stuff, just comedy stuff. I am Mike Carrozza, M-I-K-E-C-A-R-R-O-Z-Z-A on all platforms, Instagram, Blue Sky, still on Twitter, not really using it.
Blowing up on Instagram right now.
Yeah, had a viral moment
this
week.
Go check it out, very funny.
It was fine.
He's a funny boy.
It's a good one. Look, it is crazy to have the first time in my life a thing reach a million plus views. But it is...
Not the last time.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see. Anyway, thank you to everybody who's been so kind
Yay.
About it.
You can also see us showcase for JFL.
Just for laughs.
Just for laughs. Here
April
in Montreal, 26th. April 26th.
Yeah, oh yeah. We can talk about actual dates, eh? We're both doing the Montreal Crochet Comedy Show on March 21st. Mm-hmm. And then we're both also at the Comedy Nest on March 28th. Get your tickets for either show. We're doing both of them.
Yeah, that's a Friday.
That's a Friday. And Montreal Just for Laughs Showcase Show, April 26th.
Damn
Come
right.
show us some love if you're in town. Don't forget, email us at stayorleavemaths@gmail.com with any comments or requests or anything else. And fucking bye.
Bye, bitches. We love you.
Well, let's get to the decision. Stay or leave.